We felt invincible. We felt hilarious. We felt beautiful. We felt powerful. We felt on top of the
party
fucking world.
Sure.
Right. The exact opposite of what was actually going on in our heart and souls.
Mm-hmm.
We were not on it. We didn't feel beautiful. We didn't feel enough. We didn't feel good. We drank to forget everything that was inside of us.
Yes.
For sure.
Exactly. Hello, and welcome to Pissy But Pretty, a show about hindsight, hope, tangents, and cuss words. We are your hosts, Party Tricks Turned Semi-Responsible Women. I am your host, Heather Cairns.
And Emily Baggin.
Hello.
Hi.
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 Welcome to the first episode of Pissy But Pretty.
Nope. It still sounds dumb.
We can never make that sound.
I tried
you know
it in
it.
My shower this morning and it was epic, but no.
Oh, it's work. Always best in a shower.
I know. I sound really good there.
Mm-hmm. That's when I sound like Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
On track.
So back on track. We are going to tell you a little bit about us, why we started the podcast.
Yep.
In this very first episode.
Season one, episode one. Of Pissy But Pretty.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's do this. You want to start us out?
Sure.
All right.
I think our goal. No, am I introducing myself? I should introduce myself. I'm Emily Baggin, 45. I have two kids, 14 and 4. I have a husband. He's younger than me.
Mm-hmm. Cougar.
I'm a manager at an orthodontist office in the area. Yeah, it's kind of boring now.
Where do you live?
I live in the Oconomowoc, Wisconsin.
In the Oconomowoc. Mm-hmm. Look it up. It's hard to spell.
Oh, see. No, I'm not going to do it.
No,
I'm
don't do it.
I'm not spell it. Okay, thanks. I'm not going to do
that. Well, I...
You?
I'm Heather Cairns. I'm 46 years old. I am the mother of a 14-year-old son. You also have a 14-year-old son. They're in the same grade in the same school. It's super cute.
Mm-hmm.
I also am a bonus mom. I've got two stepdaughters that are 30 and 31. They have not yet given me grandbabies, and I am ready. I want babies. I'll steal them if I have to.
I'm going
to
call you Grandma Wrinkles.
You can call me Grandma Wrinkles. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. And, yeah, I was born and raised in our little small town we live in the Oconomowoc, yeah. Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I moved in. You yeah. stayed here your whole yeah. life so far.
I always thought I was going to be a big city girl. I would tell my parents, I am getting the heck out of here.
Oh, no.
I am made to be Carrie Bradshaw.
Ooh.
I know. I've never even seen a single episode of Sex and the City, but I thought that was going to be me. I don't know why.
What?
I know. Even though people say that I'm more of the, what's the other girl's name? The
Samantha Jones.
Oh.
She the hoe. Mm. Everyone says that's
that
me.
That explains it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That explains it.
Loosey-goosey.
Yeah. I didn't get out.
You didn't get out, which is
I mean,
fine.
I did. I did a stint in college in lacrosse.
I mean,
didn't last real long.
You
but
stuck your tongue in it to see how it tasted, and then yeah. it just didn't fit.
Didn't fit.
Had to go. You had to go.
Had to go. I love the partying.
Mm.
But yeah, now Oconomowoc is stuck with me, and I have been a hairdresser for 25 years, and I own the Hair District Salon and Spa. Check us out. In Oconomowoc, of course. Yeah. And yeah, let's tell the people why we started this thing.
Why we're here.
Yeah.
We have been friends forever and ever and ever.
Ever
but
and
I
ever.
Think ultimately women our age are, I think, kind of universally hate other girls. Wherever you go places, everyone's like, you know what? I don't like other girls. I don't have a lot of girlfriends. So we just happen to, dare I say, be blessed. To
blessed
have
with the best.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we met 20 years ago, kind of went through our own hell.
Yep.
And then kind of reconnected, I don't even know, what would you say, like 5-6 years ago? And now we've got this amazing friendship. We've got this amazing message of hope and success and going from addiction and awful childhoods and or my childhood was awful. You've got this huge family and that dynamic being the oldest of five.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that we went through to try to find our place.
Yeah.
Over and over and over and over again. We looked for it over here. We looked for it over there. And
anyone that would take us in, we were like, oh.
Well, we took them in.
Yeah.
Our vaginas.
Oh, and that. Yeah. And there's that.
Mm-hmm. So there was a journey there.
Yeah. I think we should definitely start out and tell people too, like, we are highly inappropriate and
parental discretion.
Yeah. Highly inappropriate. We're not for some, probably not for most.
Well, hopefully.
But we just really want to like tell the people it doesn't have to, trauma doesn't have to control your life forever.
Yep.
I like to say it can be earth shaking, not earth shattering.
Right.
And you can come out the other side and be like kind of cool chicks.
Fairly normal
like
people. Yeah. Fairly normal. You can be mothers and be a good mom. Mm. You can be a wife and be a good partner and a good wife and not be a fucking train wreck.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are things that we're going to say that are not going to be popular opinion, but this
Agreed.
Is our experience with it. Our experience with
our experience is the big part of it. Like, and this is how we chose to cope.
Correct.
We went through some shit. We don't have PhDs. You should probably not use us as your life goals
or your reference on a resume.
Don't do that either.
I mean,
but like, I don't think, especially our generation, I don't think it's completely abnormal to have gone through such a crazy partying days and had a lot of regrets. Sure. I think we took it to the extreme for sure with addiction, whether it be sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I know.
You just described my 20s.
I know. I know.
I love that journey.
But yeah, like I do think like because we went through our own shit.
Mm-hmm.
And we chose to deal with it how we did, whether we both have been through therapy, but
lots and lots of therapy.
Yeah. And I think especially because you don't have to be the moms that the Stepford Wives moms, like our moms felt like they had to be. Nowadays, it's okay to say you're not okay, or it's okay to not be the perfect mom, wife, daughter, sister, friend.
I don't even know what PTA stands for.
What does?
PTA?
And I immediately thought PTSD.
Post-traumatic.
That's what PTA sounds like to me. I would have PTSD
if I ever
entered a PTA meeting.
Yeah.
Nothing against those that are in PTA.
I think we might be very normal. And I use that term like pretty loosely. Like women our
How
age.
How dare you?
I know. Like women our age though. And we grew up with sort of like baby boomer parents that were like, you're crying. You better whatever. I'll give you something to cry about.
Yes.
Like, that sort of crap. And then I personally was born anxious and I had panic attacks and I didn't know what that meant, but that was before mental health was dealt with. And
it was
It was a get over it. You had to get over it. You had to put your foot in front of the other, whether you knew how or not.
Yeah.
So this is our sort of generation. This is our journey. We dealt with that. Of, you know, we've got some mental health problems, some shit went down and things happened to us.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to deal with it in the best way that we knew how.
Some shit was done, not necessarily to us, but our own choices.
Because of us.
Yeah. Our own choices were made that weren't great. And I think, too, this podcast will make people feel smarter and better about their lives.
Sure. Yeah.
Because, I mean,
if we can't make you feel better, then what's the point? Everyone just wants to feel good. Everyone wants to be happy.
Everybody wants to be happy. But why isn't that main focus?
Are you happy?
I mean, it depends on the moment. Like, am I happy with what?
Oh, that's broad.
I mean,
that's loaded. That's very loaded.
I think happiness comes differently in different stages of life.
Overall?
Overall, I'm happy.
Sure.
Overall, I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
But I always thought I was good. That was the problem.
There it is.
There it is.
Ding dong.
Yep. So, like, we are kind of going to tell people how we went through our crazy party days, how we knew each other in our young 20s.
Yep.
We thought each other were completely different than what we were. Like, when we met, I thought you were the coolest chick on earth, which you are, by the way.
Hi.
Yeah, you are.
Hi. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You are. Mm. But I was like, everybody just gravitated towards you. You had this laugh that was just as loud as mine, which I never happens.
It's horrible. Oh, it's horrible.
And this is why.
And everybody knows where the hell I am. I don't have a dainty, pretty laugh.
And this is why our husbands and children clench are embarrassed of us.
Yep. I have to clench my butthole.
Oh, I know.
And we heard each other like across the room. And yep. And I was like, I like her. She's very loud. Louder than me.
And it's true. Nobody can match our loudness, especially when we're together. Mm. And that's why, especially when we're together, our families are so embarrassed. And we kind of love it.
I kind of love that.
Yeah, they just can't get us sometimes. Mm. It is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, we might be embarrassing, but at the end of the day, we're pretty fucking fantastic. I think we're in a great place. I think we're great mothers, wives, whatever. That's debatable. I'm sure our husbands will tell you a few things, but whatever. If they want a microphone, they should have gotten one.
This is our podcast.
Then you can tell your story, whatever. So, yeah. We met. We went through it. It was 20 years ago. It was a long time ago, a lifetime. I don't even feel like that was my experience. Honestly, I feel so disconnected from that person.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like us anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. But
we grew up, though, in the ages where, like, 90s, early 2000s, it was the binge drinking culture, the house parties, and, you know, so I think that we've learned a lot from that. We weren't in, like, our parents, I'm going to have a beer after work. I'm going to have a nightcap.
Yep.
It wasn't like we've said this before, we didn't think we were alcoholics because we didn't drink every day. I would only drink once or twice a month. But when I did, there was no shut-off valve for me.
Never.
So, and then I just thought I was could do anything. I was the funniest person ever. And the next morning, I'd wake up and be like, I can't believe I said or did that. Or
if you even
who the
remembered.
Fuck are you?
Yeah. If you even remembered what you did, what you said, until you start getting those hate texts or those phone calls. I mean, back then we didn't really have cell phones, which again, was probably a
or
good thing.
Or you had to push the same number.
Sorry.
I've been called worse. Or you had to push the same number a bunch of times to get to the letter you wanted.
Yeah, it was like A or A, B, C, D. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the three. Yeah, I was super fast at that.
Yeah.
I had really quick thumbs.
The Nokia.
It's my tiny, tiny hands. I could type really fast.
You have to travel over the whole keyboard with those. But yeah, I think that was our culture. And I think a lot of people our age struggled with that. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be as extreme as we were. Mm-hmm. We were very extreme in our partying days.
Right.
But we were so invincible.
We felt invincible. We felt hilarious. We felt beautiful. We felt powerful. We felt on top
of the party fucking
world.
Sure.
Right. The exact opposite of what was actually going on in our heart and souls. Mm-hmm. We were not on it. We didn't feel beautiful. We didn't feel enough. We didn't feel good. We drank to forget everything that was inside of us.
Yes.
For sure.
Exactly.
So that meant we drank every ounce of alcohol in the tri-state area. And
we're
then
not in a tri-state. Are we? Tri-state?
Try
Wisconsin?
Me. Try me. What does that even mean? I don't know. I say tri-state area all the time.
I think
have you been thinking
like
about that?
Tri-state? Isn't that like Indiana? I don't know.
Yeah. It's like the states around us.
Again, we'll make you feel smarter.
Trois. That is French. Thank you. Very smart. So anyways.
Anyways.
I'm so dumb.
I don't know where we went with this. Anyways.
I was on a really good roll.
You were.
No, I was on a really good roll. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How much we drank, how many, ooh. But I kept the drug addiction from you.
Yeah.
Nobody knew that I was doing that. Nobody knew that at the end of the night was when I was drunk enough to be like, all right, now I'm going to try to find drugs. I'm going to hook up with all these old friends that I knew were garbage for me, but at least they had the good drugs. So I would get pills, I would get coke, I would get the ecstasy, I would get whatever I could find after that, which
And we're going to talk about all of that.
Yep.
Because, I mean, that wasn't my – the alcohol was by far my drug. Can you imagine if I would have done drugs on top of it? I was the one who fell on my face all the time.
All the time.
I would have no face left.
You definitely wouldn't have – well, teeth.
My teeth are fake. Yeah. From too many falls on the old moneymaker.
So I just don't understand why you didn't put your hands out.
I don't think I knew I was falling.
You are very tall. I mean, so it took a minute.
I am 5'8".
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. A lot of road rash happened on this face.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that. Bruises.
Oh, my God. So many bruises. And then you try to put makeup on them, and makeup never covers up a crusty scab. Ugh.
That's gross.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
you said
it
crusty
was like,
scab in the first visit.
Ugh.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Hopefully people are still listening by now.
Yeah.
I turned them off.
It's on your face, not your vagina.
Well, crusty you never scabs. Know.
We don't want to put that juju out there. No, we don't want to put that juju out there.
I slept with a lot of crusty people.
Oh.
Probably. Yeah.
I don't know. I know I did, but I couldn't tell you.
And for any
half
of you out there, we're not mentioning names, but you know who you are, but don't feel good about it.
Oh, God.
The bar was set low.
Oh, God.
The bar was set very low.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I feel like we were looking for love in all the wrong places, but I wasn't necessarily looking for love from you.
But that was everybody in the bar. You know who you are. Ooh, I feel like there's a, what would we say, vendetta?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
No, it's not even that. It's just like anyone that would give us attention, we would gravitate to. And we'll talk about all of that and how the alcohol, drugs for you came into play with all of that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about how we came out the other side and we're now still hot shit, but in a different way.
Oh, for sure. For sure. That rock bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Why
many times we should have hit rock bottom and did not.
Oh, we did. We hit it.
Oh,
we high-fived it. And then we rolled around in it till our fingers were pruny and we just were very happy there.
You're right.
We were very happy
and
there.
And then we were like,
yep.
And then we were like, well, I'm going to drink and do something else stupid to forget about the stupidness of that just happened.
Yep. That was always the thing that bothered me when I did get sober is everyone's like, well, he was drunk. She was drunk. No. We'll get into that too, kind of like where our mindset is now, how we feel about drinking, mothers that drink, fathers that drink and do drugs and still try to have that party lifestyle and try to be parents, whatever. Yeah. I mean, we're not going to go nuts with it.
And maybe some people can. We cannot.
Of course.
Because we didn't have a turn off.
Nope. There was no balance there.
No.
There was no stopping.
Right.
I drank until the sun came up by myself in my living room on the floor, eating cereal and spaghetti and whatever I could get my hands on.
And how long have you been sober now?
9 years.
Yep. 9 years.
How long have you?
I've been 3.5.
Yep.
Not nearly as long as you, but looking at how, like, you were my inspiration. You were my, like, okay, I'm done with this now. I am in my 40s and still doing this shit.
It's not
and
cute.
Still waking up with these god-awful hangovers and the mom guilt and the guilt of the stupid shit I did when I thought I was hilarious and waking up immediately in pain because I fell on my face again.
Yeah,
you
for
know,
sure.
Like, but then looking at you and being like, well, she's still fun. I think I was so nervous I wouldn't be fun, which we'll get into all of that too. But like,
Big time.
Yeah, you were a big help in that because we had our big fun party days together.
Right.
And then you got sober, but I was still, like I said, once or twice a month, still in my drinking and couldn't control it.
Mm-hmm.
And Oh, man, so bad. You saw some things.
Yeah, I did, because I was sober when you were still drinking, and it was always really hard when you started speaking cursive with me, and I was like, oh, fuck, there she goes.
Gosh, I was so pretty all the time.
I mean, you were pretty. You looked pretty, but
I was drooling out of one side of my mouth, and my eyes were probably crossed, and
My left eye always went down.
Yeah. Did it?
Yeah. Mm. I had a lazy eye.
Huh. Mm. Made you have a wonky eye.
Mm.
But okay. So, yeah, the not drinking has been beneficial for us.
Yep.
And hopefully if people are feeling the same way we felt in those situations, like I said, I think it's a big thing for people our age to go through.
Yep.
And maybe we can...
Maybe we can inspire. Maybe we can just give you a little sense of hope. Maybe we can let you know that we're not going to go back and change all of that. There are so many, so many fucking regrets.
Doesn't have to define you.
Absolutely not. If you went back and you changed all of that, you wouldn't be the person that you are. And I know for you and for me, we are still growing. We are still evolving. We're still trying to figure out who we are.
It's true.
We're only in our mid-40s. Let's hope that we've got a lot of time left to figure it out and become who we were supposed to be. But the regret for me was a big deal. I always wanted to take that book and fucking burn it. Mm. But you can't do that.
Right. Well, for me, it was the embarrassment.
It is embarrassing. It's all embarrassing. Yeah. It's disgusting.
Uh-huh.
It's,
especially being in our little town. They talk.
Yeah,
the
they do.
Streets be talking.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come...
sound like my great-aunt Margaret. The streets be talking.
On a small town.
Yeah. I mean, nobody really knew me, I don't think. I mean, I still...
Yeah.
Maybe they did. I don't know. Maybe I have a bigger reputation than I think I do, but I don't know. I still don't...
Well, I have a big, huge family from this super small town.
We're from here. Yep, that's
so,
true.
So, yeah, like the embarrassment of it all, the embarrassment I caused my family was always so stressful. And I think that's why I was like, well... Just going to keep doing this
made
over and over.
Made you drink more. Made you drink more. Because you would show up and they'd be looking at you in pity and shame. And you're like, well, fuck that. Yeah. I'm going to go big or I'm going to go home.
Went big. Sometimes went home.
No.
Sometimes rarely. I didn't know where I was. But
oh, no. Lots of times we didn't know where we were. Mm-hmm. For sure.
So but safe.
Incredibly.
Mm-hmm. They didn't have Ubers, by the way.
Still alive?
If they had Ubers, maybe I would have ended up... At home more often.
Probably.
Maybe not.
Probably. That's a lot of regret. A lot of regret. We should have been in prison. We should be in jail. We should
never thought
have been
we'd
in
make
trouble.
It this far.
No.
Like, we didn't think we'd hit 40. You and I both have talked about that. Like,
and I was okay with it.
Yeah. We were like, okay, well, lived a good life if I don't make it to 40. So now every year is like a bonus level.
Sure.
I think. But, and that's, you could have that regret. You could have that embarrassment. It doesn't have to define you. Like,
no.
Yep. Would I do that all over again? Probably not. But because I did, I'm okay with it now because here I am.
Correct.
With you.
You're my best friend. And may I say, you're welcome.
You're
not
welcome.
Not to be confused with welcome. That's gross. Say that. It's gross.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
I go on tangents. I did a lot of drugs when I was younger. So I probably have like holes in my brain. They did this thing on ecstasy. I saw it on MTV's True Life. Mm. Everybody knows that episode. They did an ecstasy and they had like holes in their brains and stuff.
I don't remember that episode, but I do remember MTV True Life.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Yeah. So good.
So good.
And what else did we want to – oh, should we tell people about – I know we kind of hit on it a little bit, but let's tell the people how we met. The one person watching us, how we met and.
How did we meet? Oh, we met through our mutual friend, Rebecca.
Yep.
Rebecca.
Thanks, Rebecca.
Sweetest person you will ever meet on the planet.
Really is.
Big shout out to her.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, because she was, I mean, I'll get into this in future episodes. I was raised a Jehovah's Witness, very sheltered, very strict life. She was my first non-witness adult friend.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's
for sure.
Crazy.
Very dynamic. And then she introduced you and I because you guys were neighbors in the old Ashapin.
In the old Ashapin.
Yeah.
Yep.
But we all had partying in common.
Yep. And she was really good at, she was a mom very young.
Yep.
So she was really good at mothering our train wreck asses.
She was basically an engineer too, driving me home all the time. Mm-hmm. But again, I kept going back and forth and back and forth on drugs, and she didn't know either. So there was a distance that I, you know, after meeting you guys very quickly, I...
So these girls don't do drugs. So I'm going to stick with the people that do.
Of course.
Because they'll...
Because if alcohol is out there, what else is out there? Ha ha.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy.
What else can make me feel this good?
Right. And then suddenly you're an addict.
Yeah.
And you're garbage and you're in pain and it's awful.
Ugh.
And you don't know what the fuck you're going to do. And that's why it's like, if I die this time, it's okay.
It's okay.
I'm square with it.
Ugh, I can't imagine that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, I will say, I remember meeting you at Ground Zero. Ooh-hoo. Shout out to the Ground Zero.
Polls for days.
It was not the Ground Zero that people think of now in New York.
Oh, no.
No, it wasn't. Was it wasn't a thing back then. This was before 9/11.
Yeah.
It was a dance club in Okachi, Wisconsin.
In the basement.
And, there was fog machines.
Beer burps and pennies.
Cigarettes.
And cigarettes and gonorrhea, if that has an odor, I would imagine.
I would imagine it does.
Like, just saying.
Yeah. I mean, it did have a smell. There was a cage with a pole. I did many a turn around that pole.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
I'll be your disco stick now.
Huh?
I'm your disco stick now.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And so... Oh, we made a lot of friends in the bathrooms.
There. Besties.
Besties in the bathroom. Bathroom besties.
Bathroom besties. Always.
Oh, my gosh.
Always.
Spend
oh, my
so
God.
Much time. Well, we have small bladders. Still do.
Oh, yeah. You break the seal. Mm-hmm. You have to go to the bathroom all the time. Yeah. It's horrible. And all those crazy, just like train wrecks, just like us.
Just like us.
But you went in, and there was always that girl that made you feel so much better about yourself.
I know. You'd be like, oh, my God, I'm so drunk. And she'd be like, no, you're so pretty.
As you have vomit on your fingers.
Oh, my God. My God.
Because you didn't make it.
Right. And a lot of test tube shots were had back then.
Oh, yes.
The test tube shot girls walking around. Yeah. Mm. Kamikaze, Alabama
awesome.
Slammer, Sex on the Beach. That's what they always sold.
Yep.
Yep.
So many kamikazes.
And we danced our butts off.
We
Unfortunately,
did.
They don't do that anymore.
Oh, they might. We just don't go to places like
that. There's no clubs anymore, I feel like. These kids don't dance.
They don't?
It's like Footloose.
You said Footloose.
Break free.
Kevin Bacon.
Dance. Like Kevin Bacon intended you to.
Go in the woods and just punch dance your rage with a cigarette and a beer. They don't know what it's like.
Punch dance your rage.
Never, 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 never. I don't know what else that song says.
I know. That's all I can think of.
He just say never like 87 times. And it was Kevin Bacon. And he had his Levi's on and he was mad about
it.
With his cigarette.
But yeah.
So,
anyways.
They don't do
that anymore. Ground Zero. And then... We did have a little separation for a bit because you were going through your stuff and the drug thing.
Yeah, I met you when I was married with my ex-husband way back in the day.
Yeah.
And behind my awesome exterior and my glowing acrylic French tips in the black light.
Glowed our acrylics, yeah.
And my Newport Light 100s in a box.
Quartz, yep.
I was going through a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because of very, very terrible, terrible things. Yeah.
But also,
I wanted to drink it away.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so we would have our dance club. Then we had our little separation for a little bit. I feel like I stayed in Oconomowoc and partied a bunch, never grew up, and then we reconnected. It's been more than 5 years. You said 5 years. I think we've gotten closer.
I have no concept of time.
Yeah, I
think
we've gotten super-duper close in the last 5 years. Like, now I couldn't imagine my life without you. Oh, my God.
I'd be devastated. So I just need to adjust.
You and your prop hands.
fucking love these things.
I know you do.
This makes me feel...
Does it make you feel like a giant because you're so tiny?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It actually does. Well, in my head, you know, I'm like 7'5".
Right.
My personality, attitude. My fucking laugh. I'm 7'5". Mm-hmm. Watch out. I will run you over.
And you're really
And then I get a nipple in my mouth and I'm like, oops, just kidding. I'm only 5". Boo-hoo. Sorry about your elbow. That's why I don't go out in public anymore. Want to know? Because I get elbows. That's why I stopped going to Summerfest. Everywhere I walked, I would get like elbows. People just right like, oh, let's go over here. And it was like.
And I can't even see. Everybody was having conversations above you. So you knew nothing about what was going on.
I had, and you know I have a hearing problem.
We had to put you on a leash so we wouldn't lose you.
It's like you do in Marshalls. You can't see me.
I know. You can't see over the racks.
I do like a Marco Polo. Mm-hmm. And I go, and then we find each other in the scarf section. I digress.
I hate scarves.
You too? Ew.
Yeah.
Oh. It, what about a nice ascot?
Why did we just talk about ascots the other day?
I don't know. I don't like asking Scott anything. He's a dick.
Humanity. That was it.
Okay.
Anyways.
Hugh Jackman. No.
No.
Tangents.
Which we're on.
Okay, yeah. Bring it back in.
Bring it back. So here we are.
Now, y'all.
So here we are.
Here I am.
In our mid-40s.
Yep.
Loving life.
Killing it.
Made it through. What did we make it through? We made it through sex, drugs, rock and roll.
There she is.
Alcohol, the drugs.
Yep.
The one-night stands.
Yep.
The
food addictions.
The food addiction.
Addictions.
And
trying to get ourselves together through depression, anxiety, panic attacks, food addiction, and trying to have babies and trying to meet men that would fucking tolerate us because we keep everyone at arm's length, or we did back in the day. So that was a huge feat.
Yep.
Oof.
To get somebody to like me for me. That's why I thought there was something wrong with my husband when I first met him.
Oh, for sure. I still think there is.
What's wrong with you? Why nobody likes me this much.
I do.
And now you say you love me?
Scissors.
What's happening?
No. Stop it.
No scissoring. Maybe tomorrow.
Drugs. Yeah. I'm seeing. Yeah. That's my problem. And this is why I love you, because you just let me go. And every time I bust out in song, you're like, yes. And I love that about you.
You are my river. Yeah.
You're my biggest fan and vice versa.
And
I think the world
you.
Needs to see it.
Yeah.
And experience it.
And we'll talk about like all the traumas that came with a lot of that. And that's why you have nose issues too.
Cocaine. Yeah.
You just picked your own nose with your tiny little hand.
I did.
They're
my tiny hands.
Loss of parents.
Blossom?
Loss of parents.
Oops. Oh, we forgot about that one. Yeah. Ooh, dying.
We'll be going through that.
Death.
Loss of homes, jobs.
All of the nitty gritty.
Mm-hmm.
So much. We'll cults. Go. I want to call it. I can call it that.
You.
That was my experience.
If that was your experience.
Very, like I said, strict and very religious. Not the
From
whole, my whole
experience
life.
Experience with it. On the outside looking in, I have had multiple friends that have had the same religion as you. And some are still there and great. Post. They have a different experience. But Post Malone was?
No. Oh. I said post-religion. Sorry, I was whispering and I shouldn't do that. Yeah. Post-religion.
Yeah.
Like I'm no longer associated with that.
And I've had some friends that have been out of that religion that now,
whether
it's their own choice or not,
and
it does seem cultish from what I've seen of it. Like I said, I have a friend who is still in it, and it's her – that's her jam. That's her thing. And we'll get into all of that in the future episodes.
Yeah.
But like
– yeah, disfellowshipping.
Religion,
yep.
Religion has played a big part in both of our lives.
Correct.
Different – religions, but
similar experiences.
Yeah.
Similar experiences of never really fitting in there and never feeling really good and having to live up to an expectation that was unattainable.
Unattainable.
For both of us. Because simply because of our personalities, I don't think I was made for religion. I don't know. That's just me.
I know. And when people say that they're spiritual, but they're not religious.
I am.
I feel like that could be me. Like, yeah. I don't believe that there's any one true right religion. Like, even if religion is a thing, I can
only because this was
say,
our experience.
Right.
What was sort of given to us and handed to us and be like, okay, this is what we think is a true religion. Our parents saying this is what we are and this is what you're going to be.
Yep.
And we kind of went, what the hell?
Yeah.
I don't like this.
And
this is
what if
terrible.
I don't believe this way?
What
or
if
what
I
if
like
I don't?
This?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. And I also think raising children to like, it's okay. Like now you didn't question it back then. Now, it's okay if you have questions about this. Like, yes, I still believe in God. I still believe in heaven. But I will say—
And hell in a handbasket.
And I believe in hell. But the main purpose, sadly but true, that I believe in heaven is simply because I want to know that I am going to see my dad again one day. I want to know when my relatives, when my family, friends, when they pass— I would like to think that I will see
there's
them again
better.
One day. Yeah. But
my nose has been whistling. I literally sounded like a pan flute for a second there.
The recorder. Can you play Three Blind Mice?
I can. Hot Cross Buns has gotten me out of so many spicy situations. You have no idea.
Has it?
If I just didn't want to perform sexually, I would just pull out the recorder and play some Hot Cross Buns.
And they will be amazed by your musical talent.
And I'd be like,
he'll be like, I got your recorder right here, baby.
I'm going to play the skin flute. No. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no.
We were on a really good roll there. We were on a good roll.
Sorry about that.
I am apologizing about my
whistly
nose. My whistle. I would love to see my family again. I don't know that's in the cards for me. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Oh, are we speaking of heaven?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Yep. You'd love to see your family again because there are some here on earth that you don't see.
Majority. Yeah. Majority.
But we'll get into all that and how that happened and why and the – I mean, even your decision of to let that be how it is for now.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you'll change your mind one day.
Maybe it will. Maybe I will. Mm-hmm. I hope through opening ourselves up and just sort of spilling our guts, this is going to be cathartic. Is that the word I'm looking for?
It's like our own therapy too.
Therapy.
We've been through therapy for a long time.
We've been through all of it. And I, you know, I've talked to, I had a psychiatrist, I had a trauma therapist, did, you know, EMDR therapy, and I had an addiction counselor who I still see. And like every 2 weeks, I still see her. But it is one of those things that I feel like opening ourselves up and even just talking about it again and getting, getting it out there again. I hope not only helps us, helps other people. That is my goal.
Well,
I love hope.
That, like
if there was hope for me, because that's sort of where I'm at, even with you, there was hope for you. There's hope for me. There's hope for any and everybody.
Yes.
You can
and
find
you can
that.
Be in the gutter like I was many a time.
Sure.
I could be a dumpster fire. And I was many
you set
a time.
Your own fucking fire.
And self-sabotaging
always.
Myself.
Always.
But, like, you could look at us and be like, well, at least I'm not that bad, so there's hope for me.
Right.
Or you can look at us and be like, they've experienced a lot of the same things, and they seem together, like semi-responsible adults that we are. But, like, seriously, like, it's, like we've said, you know, don't. We're going to let our mess be our message. As I heard once, I can't remember.
Oh, I like that.
I do too.
Okay.
Let your mess be your message. And I'm not going to claim it. I heard it somewhere, probably on The Real Housewives.
Oh, yeah. But it was most likely. We do a lot of that.
Yeah.
We quote things. Like, I don't think I said my own sentence until I was 25. I quoted movies.
You're really good
and
at remembering
songs.
Movies.
It's not. It doesn't come in handy for any situation ever in my whole life
to
so
make
far.
Me
like,
happy.
Oh, all of a sudden, let me just quote Back to the Future real quick. And everyone looks at me like I've got crabs coming out of my ears.
It makes me happy.
Thank you.
Crabs.
crabs.
Coming out of your vagina, not your ears.
No. I don't have. Oh, that's the clap. No, nope, I don't have crabs.
You don't have craps?
Crabs or craps.
Oh, you just made a new STD.
The crab craps.
I got the craps.
The crab craps. You're disgusting. You would need a tiny, tiny comb for crab craps.
That's and when you get them.
I would help
from
you
the peach area.
Brush through it.
That's your craps.
Did you do the emoji?
I don't get it. I still don't get it.
Okay.
Okay.
Peach is a butt.
I know. I didn't know.
And there's usually hair on people's butt cheeks, so like a fuzzy peach.
Maybe you should get a Brazilian. Thought of that?
I don't want a fucking Brazilian. I do kind of want a porn star butthole, but that's for a whole nother episode.
Do they bleach it? Okay, we're getting off. Nope. We're getting off. Get us back on track,
Emily.
We're
not gonna have a butthole episode. Yeah. Where are we going?
Mm-mm.
I don't know. Where are we getting? Ooh. What? No risk, no story. And I like that. Sorry, I have like these just quotes. Sort of, yeah, I have to keep us on track. So I have these like cute mm-hmm. little like quotes and things that, you know, is kind of our goal or what we want to do or what we want to achieve. Even if you and I just get better than we are, then I'm happy.
Yeah.
That's why we did this.
If nobody finds us funny, if nobody listens or tunes in to us.
Well, whatever.
We had fun. And we needed a hobby.
I don't know anybody that has – well, yeah, no, everybody I know has a hobby. I don't have a hobby.
We don't have
one.
There's
not things I like. I work all the time.
Same.
Yep. I work, and then I go home, and I'm a mom, and you do the mom shit and the wife shit and all that stuff, and it literally is a vicious cycle. Mm-hmm. And it can so easily, at least for addicts, it can so easily – get bored, and a bored brain is a dangerous thing.
Yeah,
I don't like being bored.
I don't find who has time to be bored.
Well, you're a planner. You're always busy. Yeah. You're even more busy than I am.
Well, there's a lot of shit going on in my life too, which we'll also get to. Sick parent
in the butthole episode.
I just said parent, and you said butthole episode.
I ruin everything. I'm the worst. I'm the worst. Pan flute.
No. Yeah. Just like we've talked about, just the experiences like.
Nope, I lost. I'll get it together. I'll get it together.
Oh, I'm getting sweaty.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry. I need Botox. I look like a nutsack.
Stop it. You don't look like a nutsack. You're beautiful. You look like a princess and you smell like pine needles.
Thank you. You're welcome. I look like Cinderella.
Yeah.
Spin around like a tongue.
Oh, yeah. So, but back on track is I think what we'll cover too in this is like I was explaining to you the other day how I feel like I am failing everywhere at every spot in my life. And I think it's
imposter syndrome.
Imposter syndrome, I feel like I have. I feel like a lot of women feel like they're failing.
Yes.
Right now, having one parent gone and another parent that is on her way out, unfortunately.
Oh.
I feel like, you know, a lot of women deal with that where I feel like I am failing as a mother. I'm failing definitely as a wife. I am failing as a daughter. I'm failing as a friend big time. I'm failing as a boss. I'm failing to be the best hairdresser I can be to my clients and listen to them like I'm supposed to because I have so much shit going on.
Right.
So it's like I feel like a lot of women are like me because we put a lot of pressure on ourselves.
Sure.
But I'm not saying we have to be perfect all the time. I just want to be there for everyone at all times. And literally just had a conversation with a friend of mine the other day. And I was like, I am so sorry. I know you're a much better friend to me than I am to you.
Yeah.
And she was like, Heather, I will take you any way I can get you. Like,
of course.
If it's just for a quick in passing or if it's just for while I'm doing your hair, I broke down and I had the ugly cry.
Ew.
I know.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say ew.
You've seen the ugly cry. It's not pretty, as I just said.
Crying makes me uncomfortable.
I know.
Okay.
It makes me uncomfortable because I never do it.
No, it feels weird.
Oh, I'm just not a crier. Literally, when I cried in front of my husband and kid, I think they got nervous because I never do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think that we get overwhelmed and overstimulated, and there's only so much we can take at 100%, once. And 100%. I exploded.
And I think that's so relatable, though. We are not the generation like the stay-at-home moms. Like, my mom didn't work. She stayed at home. She knit. She watched her soap operas. Mm-hmm. And dare I say, was absolutely miserable, had no purpose, had no goals, had nothing. And that was why we went into, you know, a very consuming religion, because mm-hmm. she had nothing. Totally different topic. But we are of a different generation. We have our careers now. Yeah. We've got, but we don't know how to manage it all mm-hmm. sometimes. There's just no balance. And then at the end of the day, all that you just talked about was being better for everybody else but you. Like, what are you going to do for you? There's never time for that. That's what we're saying. That's where we started this.
Yeah.
Full circle. I know. Again, is the hobby.
Yeah. I feel like.
Yes.
Well, and I'm much better taking care of other people than I am of me. I know.
I think you should talk to your therapist about that.
I know. Mm. It's something that we have talked about.
Okay.
But when it comes to.
Yeah.
Taking care of ourselves, we're not the best at that. But I know. I'm not that great at it either. I'm not. I don't – if I had to sit and focus on – I have a sister who will sit and like to reminisce and watch home videos of my dad and like all of us as a family growing up. Ooh. I choose to – like the day of his death, his birthday, which happens to be Christmas, so that kind of helps out because it's such a busy day. I would rather not think about it. You know, like, and she would rather reminisce on that stuff. So, like, if it's just me pushing it aside, maybe that's my self-help. I don't know when
it
comes
to. Or maybe your grief is just in a really solid place.
Yeah, maybe it is.
You know, there are years, my dad died October 27th of 04. There are years that I am a puddle and I'm angry mm-hmm. at everyone, angry at the world mm-hmm. because my dad is gone.
Yeah.
And there are other years that I think about it for a second and I move on with my day and my time.
Yeah. Isn't it weird how it can strike and hit you at different times?
Yeah.
And maybe because this year, because we just had Christmas, what, last week? Mm. Now having my mom where she is.
Yeah.
My mom's got brain cancer and whatever. But having her where she is it struck a different chord with me this year.
Yeah.
Like, yes, Christmas was my dad's birthday. But I've also, like, this Christmas is so different. Like, I'm praying that it's not our last one.
Right.
I'm with her. But yeah, it struck me differently. Like, the night, Christmas Eve, I was kind of a basket case and just, I went to bed early and let myself had a little cry sesh, and maybe that's my self-care.
There you go.
Yeah.
Crying into your huge pillow.
Oh, it is huge. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you make wet spots?
I would say so, because it's a nice silk.
And it wasn't from the drool. It
wasn't from the drool this time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I have to say about that?
What?
I love you. I love you so much.
Thank you. All right.
Okay.
So I hope that gives you a little insight.
That was awesome. That was a hot mess. And it was exactly.
Hot mess express,
exactly,
like we are.
Exactly. I couldn't have asked for anything better. Mm-mm. But yeah, come back. We've got messages. We've got messages of hope. We are trying to be happy just like everybody else is. And I think that's huge.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. Get it out there.
Be real. Be gritty.
Yep.
Be pity.
Be pretty. Gross. Pity?
No.
Oh.
Shoot.
Pissy but pretty.
Pissy but pretty.
Thank you.
That's the way to do it.
That is the way to do it.
Come back for episode 2.
Deuces. Thanks for letting us tickle your ear hole and not turning us off after the first 30 seconds. Don't forget to subscribe and join our email list to get in on the action.